Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Rochelle, who is here to speak with us about her experience of participating in the recent recording and listening training for folks and their young ones. Welcome, Rochelle.
Hi, Jen.
Hey.
Well, I tell you, it was a wonderful experience.
Well, and it was the very first one, wasn't it? I realized as I was introducing it, I thought, I don't even know what it's called. So that's how it came out, Young Ones. I'm from the South, but I guess that fits, right?
Well, and it was, I think, titled Recording and Listening Parent-Child Class.
Parent-Child Class.
Yes,
and as you
proved,
it doesn't necessarily just have to be straight parents.
Exactly, because I participate with my niece, who's 14 years old. And so it actually worked out really well. The class was 6 weeks long, and we would have about an hour and a half phone call, and it was kind of like group, some guidance, meditation, and then some activities where we had some directions and then recorded and listened and then discussed what we saw. It was very well done. Tracy was the facilitator, and it was just an excellent job. I suspect there were very young people there, and I'm not sure, but I project that my niece at 14 years old was probably one of the older children or young people participating.
Rochelle, what I'm curious, just to start, what had you decide to sign up? What were you seeing about that? What were you?
So this is interesting, and I think a very valuable part of the process for signing up and even wanting to do this. At least for me, I'm not sure about anybody else, is that the young people in my life, and particularly my niece, were very close. I love her so much, but I can see and hear during her development and hear her talk, I can see self-hate conditioning starting its maneuvers on her. You know, I would love to spare her that. Now, I know that it's going to happen, but you kind of hear this going on, and it's a challenge as an adult with a child how to guide them through this. And because certainly you don't want to feed into the self-hate and the conditioning. And then as a young person, they're like, well, they have conditioning kind of talking in the ear for a while. And then... but it's hard to give them those tools. And so you know the practice tools, and I've been practicing for a while, but I wanted to introduce those to her in a way in which she could understand and would benefit from them. And so I almost was kind of an ego-driven thing. I think she needed it. it's hard to introduce that to a young person because they can smell an agenda a mile away.
That's right. Oh, it's so good, isn't it? Yeah, they've got that, you know. Yeah. And rightly so. I mean, none of us wants to be changed, right? And so there's sort of that sense of, you know, guards up. But what you know, I mean, what I hear you describing is that at base, you just love her like crazy. And you want her, you know you can't spare her, the process of, you know, being socialized and being conditioned in all the ways that we are. And so she is going to have self-hate. It's how it is. But you also know there's this incredibly powerful tool that has been such a godsend to you. And so gosh, just the wisdom of wanting to offer that to her by being trained alongside her, not kind of being the grown-up, now I'm going to tell you what to do, but the two of you together going through the process together, I just love it.
Well, and it was excellent. And I really, you know, approached it, would you be interested in participating? And young people these days are extremely busy. You know, how does it work with your schedule? And, you know, is it okay with your parents and things like that? And so she wanted to participate. And what she was very excited about was the tape recorder. She had wanted a tape recorder and everything, and she enjoyed it. So I kind of approached it. I didn't want to have an agenda, but I thought that it was a tool that she could use. But I didn't want to imply that there's something wrong and here's something to fix you type of way of doing it. And she was receptive to participating, and she was excited about the tape recorder and having her own tape recorder because she's seen me with mine.
Exactly. That's what I think is one of the geniuses of that offering, is that it's not, okay, grown up, sign up your young person, you know, sign up your niece or your daughter or your son or whatever for this training. It's together we're doing it, which is such a, I would imagine, such a different kind of a communication to the people, to the children who are in the class.
Well, and yes, and it really kind of, in participating in the class, it really morphed to, instead of being an adult and a child or an adult and a young person or, an aunt and a teenager type of thing, it really morphed to a group of practitioners. Practicing together, being supportive and participating together. So that it was like, yes, my motivation was to introduce her to recording and listening, but what I got out of it is, man, this is really wonderful, excellent practice stuff for me, and I've gotten a lot of nice recordings, and she has nice recordings too, and a process of learning how to do that. And so it was a valuable course for any practitioner, and even more joy that I could share it with her. And all of a sudden, it wasn't adult and child. It was fellow practitioners on different points in the path.
Gosh, and isn't that so, such a different model of growing up and of being a grown up or an adult anyway, in a world where we are, you know, all of us have young people in our lives, whether or not we're parents, and just that such a different paradigm to realize. I mean, that's one of the things I see as I look around at the young people who are in my life, is how quickly they grow up. And yes, you know, at first they don't know how to read. Okay, so we help them learn how to read, and they don't know how to cross the street safely. Okay, so we help them. So there's all of that information, but how quickly they become someone who is, as Ashwini would say, you know, a unique node of intelligence. And that we're all just in this together, and how quickly I feel like I start learning from them and they can learn from me. And as you point out, we're all in this together. And I just love that image of being practitioners all in this thing together. And those sort of, you know, lines of we're the grown-ups and you're the kids begin to dissolve.
Oh, yes, most definitely. And I think what was very valuable for her is to hear me process and talk about what I saw, and some of those same voices, conditioning, self-help types of things that she thought was just her because she was young or what have you, that, you know, her old aunt also hears. And she's not alone, and she's like, oh, my gosh. You know, it says that to you, too. And I'm like, yeah, all the time. I think that was valuable to have her kind of see and hear me process and her go through her process and realize it's not that different type of thing, and that some of that is helpful, and that the way that you work with that is that you feed the good wolf, and practicing with the recording helps you do this.
Yeah. And, you know, gosh, there's so much in it, Rochelle. It's so inspiring. Wow. But as you say that last piece, it makes me realize that from now on, the two of you have a vocabulary that you can always use together. You know, so you're spending time together and, you know, one of you is down about something and you can use that language. Well, let's feed the good wolf. What might that be? Let's make a recording.
And we did. Right? I mean, we spent, this was just before the Christmas holidays, it was October to November, and Christmas there was something that we were talking about for the new year, and she was saying something, and we talked about Good Wolf. I said, wow, you know, so which wolf is that? And she's like, oh, and everybody else was kind of like,
what are y'all talking about?
What are you talking about?
And she was like, oh, yeah, you're right. So it does give us a common language to discuss this with, discuss that kind of process with. Now, I talked to her. She's, again, super busy, but she couldn't participate in the call tonight. But I asked her, I said, would you recommend this to another young person? Was it valuable? And she said, oh, most definitely. And then I asked her, I said, are you still recording? Because we don't live together. And she says, oh, yeah, I'm still recording. And so that, to me, was huge.
Huge.
That she would recommend it to another person to participate, and that she's still using her recorder. She's still recording and listening.
Oh, my gosh, Michelle. Wow.
it was
exciting.
A wonderful course. I mean, just wonderful. So I think it's very valuable for practitioners, young practitioners, mature practitioners. It was just very good. And it also, this year, or last year, I think the practice really opened up to others, and she was able to participate in the fundraising for Catalumba, but it also gave her another view into practice and that type of thing. And so I'm very appreciative of the work that goes on to present this to help with the next generation, the new ones on the path. That's very important. And part of the work that we do is not just for us, but also those who are coming behind us on the path, that we're building that road and building that process and teaching this process in a way that's respectful to any practitioner approaching the path, regardless of age.
Well, I knew it would be inspiring to have you on, Michelle, but I have to tell you, I've got goosebumps all over, and I'm sure I'm not alone in everyone's, I bet, sitting down and making their list. So I hope they've got people lined up to train to teach that course. I think the popularity is going to soar. So thank you so much for being with us this afternoon.
Thank you once again for the opportunity. Thank you.
All right. Take good care, Michelle.
Thank you, Jen.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Rochelle. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. I'm having fun. And of course, you can imagine being the world's foremost nag, and nagging almost nonstop about recording and listening. I'm just grinning ear to ear here with that little conversation.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was great. Mm-hmm. That was great. And good to see recording and listening established at a young age. It's impressive.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's so much our mission with this, you know. I probably should send it out to everybody. I think it's going to appear on the recordingandlistening.org website soon. But somebody sent me, Coach sent me something that came in from somebody who has no idea about our practice at all. Urge to record and listen, and did so. And felt like she had discovered unconditional love for the first time in her life. And,
wow.
So I think about that, and you know, there's a fair amount of suffering in the world, and that there is something that we can do that is so simple, so inexpensive, so 24/7 available to us that can take us from suffering to unconditional love. We have that. What if we'd had that when we were 6, 7, 8, 13, 15? Might our lives have been different? And that's what's possible for young people coming up behind us. So we have to do a good job of not being so whacked out that they continue to say, no, actually, I don't want to do what those people are doing because, yeah.
Yes, 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 exactly. And I think about, I forget where I heard it, but around our kids especially, to just record, I don't go off and hide somewhere to do it. I just do it out in the open. Whether I do it hourly
exactly.
or something's going on, or it's just
do it
what
in traffic.
Adults do.
You know, you're driving somewhere with a, you know, find yourself starting to get irate about traffic or whatever it is. Just pull out the recorder, record about what's going on with you. They get to hear it. Yeah, it's normal.
Yes, exactly. Normal.
And they get to hear their parent process, which is part of what Rochelle was saying that was so important for her niece. You know, how long does it take people to get, no, you're not the only one. You're not the only one. Everybody's having the same experience. That's so hidden in society.
Yes.
Why can't you find it out?
Yes. Yep. And I loved the comment about having a common vocabulary of the good wolf and the bad wolf. And I know for me and my kids, it makes it really simple to talk about what's going on. Well, the good wolf told me this. And so,
right. And who are you feeding right now?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and again, that normalizing it and a shared vocabulary and a shared practice, you know, you can say, whoops, okay, reel it back in, feeding the bad wolf here. We're not doing that. And also to be humble enough that when they say to us, are you feeding the bad wolf? we can cop to it and say, I think so, yeah, thank you. Thank you for that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And I have some announcements here.
All right.
Is suffering really optional? Is there really nothing wrong? Let's find out. Join you, Sherry, for a fun interactive workshop at East West Bookshop in Mountain View, California, this Sunday, February 25th.
I know. Just sneaked right up. You know, with all those things, you know, you say, sure, okay, yeah, sure, we can do that. And it's way off in the future, you know, so it's really no problem. Now here we are. It's like, wait a minute, we're still in an email class. how can we be doing that? Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yes.
East-West is always fun. I hope people will come and participate. That's the key to those kinds of things, you know.
Yes, great.
Mm-hmm.
And our new year-long retreat, How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything, is an opportunity to bring karmic patterns and survival mechanisms into the light of conscious, compassionate awareness so you will be free to have an authentic life experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, anybody who participated in Project Joy, I bet you're not going to miss this one. If you do, you're listening to The Bad Wolf. And, and somebody who didn't get to participate in that, this is the way to sort of, it's a funny way to phrase it, but catch up.
Yes. And this retreat with you, Sherry, starts March 5th and includes a radio show each weekday morning.
Yep. A la Project Joy. We're gonna get together and we're gonna do it. And the unique part about this one, the reason that I'm excited about this focus is that a lot of folks have gotten to the place of, I can see what's going on, and I actually have the ability to turn my attention when I'm present enough for it. I can do that. I have that skill. But the same kinds of things keep coming up. And that's because they're locked in the system, and so they keep getting triggered, and they don't get resolved. They just get sort of ignored, so they could safely just go back and loop around again. And this year, that's what we're going to tackle. We're going to actually bring into conscious, compassionate awareness the stuff that is locked into the system that kind of leaks out or springs out when we're least expecting it and continues to do us damage.
Well, that's really exciting. That karma that keeps coming back and coming back and coming back, it sounds like that's what is going to be addressed.
Mm-hmm. That's it, exactly. Yep. Yep. Because it doesn't go away. You know, so much of it, people don't even have any idea where it came from. It's just, tis the nature of karma. And so starting to make those connections, and that those deeply buried belief systems and assumptions and that sort of thing, you know, let's bring them out and really look at them so that we can see them for what they are and let them go.
Yes, yes. And I know for me to have that daily support with you and Ashwini and the callers is just incredibly supportive every day, every day.
Yeah, that's what we realized changed everything in that last year of Project Joy. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was too good not to do it again.
Great. So sign up now if you haven't already.
Mm-hmm. And people. Well, one of the things that people will fall into is, well, I really can't afford that. Yeah, you can. We have payment plans. So don't buy into that nonsense.
Reminds me of the bumper sticker that says, if you think education is expensive, try ignorance.
There you go. Yeah, if you think awareness is expensive.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, that kind of says it, doesn't it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
And our next announcement, new group coaching offerings in March will provide support around two important topics, conscious compassionate action beginning March 15th, and Parenting with the Mentor, beginning March 16th. Weekly group calls and email check-ins are part of these powerful coaching opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Big topics.
Yes. And are you ready to take a courageous dive into emotions you've never been allowed truly to examine? Then the When You're Falling Dive Retreat, guided by you, Sherry, and Ashwini in North Carolina, is for you. The retreat runs from April 9th through 14th and includes yoga, delicious vegetarian meals, and individual guidance with you, Sherry.
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
And I can promise it's a good time because I've already done it.
Yes. Great. And step away from the pressures of day-to-day living and immerse yourself in a monastic community completely focused on waking up. The Your Practice Retreat, April 28th through May 5th at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California, provides individualized support with what you choose as your practice focus for your stay. The retreat is a prerequisite for anyone considering being a first-time visiting monk.
Mm-hmm. And it's a good time.
Go ahead, Sherry.
It's a good time. It's just a good time. It's a fun way to be at the monastery.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You've done it, right?
I've done it. Yes, I have.
Yeah.
Yes, I have. Yep.
You can attest.
I can attest. And if you have a favorite quote from Sherry's responses in the current email class, we would like to invite you to share it with Sangha. Please direct the quote to peacequotes@livingcompassion.org so it can be sent out to Sangha through the daily Peace Quotes program.
Hmm. Well, it's fun too.
Yes. And for all current awareness practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make a show by pressing *6 and then 1. And a conversation that lasts about 5 minutes on one topic is really great. Mm-hmm. Okay, Sherry, you ready here?
I am ready.
Okay, here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Laura from San Diego.
Hey, Laura.
Laura.
Hey. It's always love hearing the unmuted cue.
that moment of, is there a little of that?
A little of that,
excitement,
but it's less
rushes
scared.
Through the body.
It's yep, less scared. It's now excitement. I love mm-hmm. the shift in that experience of the energy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Gosh, so many things are happening for me in practice right now. It's just really just feels really powerful, and I really love hearing about the recording, listening for. Caregivers and children, and you know, my kids witness it with me quite often, and it's just really interesting to watch and not get attached to when they're open to it and when they're not open to it, and just kind of just trusting life, trusting the process, and just being present to the moment, you know.
Uh-huh. Letting them set the pace.
Yeah, because my 13-year-old, Mom, I don't hear voices. Okay. I see you living
uh-huh.
in it right now, but okay. You know,
uh-huh.
Whereas our 9-year-old is more, much more open to the vocabulary, and, you know, that 13-year-old just kind of has his own, like, I know this is, you know, I know what I know, and I don't need to take on anything that you believe, you know, so just interesting
mm-hmm.
to watch.
Mhm. And so even when you hear him living it out, if you were to say, you know, he's not into it.
So he's I have to find backdoor places. So it's interesting, he'll entertain it surrounding his brother, and you know, in
uh-huh.
fact he wants to be supportive of his brother, and he's even asked, you know, Mom, do you think sometimes the way I've treated him contributes to, you know, struggles he's having? And then, you know, he'll talk about the voices in regards to how his brother struggles, but he really resists applying it to himself.
Mm-hmm. Well, we can all appreciate that, can we?
Right.
We all know that place. You know, I've noticed that people around me have so many more problems than I do. And if they would just get better, I'd be so much happier. Yeah.
Completely. So so I'm going to keep asking, because I have asked, you know, I look forward to the continuative offerings of that class, and I anticipate one day, you know, there will be a yes, that
mm-hmm.
they'll join me in it. So,
yeah, maybe a Mother's Day present.
Ooh, I like it. Yes.
When they get to that age. And this is not for you, kid. This is for me. I really need you to understand me better.
Yes, I love it.
No manipulation.
Okay. No, none. No hidden agendas.
None.
So I have a question about, so I'm loving the email class, and watching, so working on not noodling around this question, so I thought I'd just bring it to an open air thing. So when we talk about parts of ourselves, so the email class has revealed for me this part, so when I get in communication with people who there is a perceived authority in the other person, right? That projection
mm-hmm.
is, you know, created via ego. And so what I've seen as I'm watching and recording and listening with this is there's a young person who gets kind of abandoned and left to deal with the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so are parts of us ego, or are they, is there an authentic young person there to be, I don't know, it feels
I know,
clear in
I,
my head.
I'm right there, Laura. I can take it from there.
Okay.
We really stopped, you probably even heard me say this, but we really
yes.
stopped in practice talking about aspects of the personality because of that very confusion. So people will get tripped up over, but this part of me is really struggling, is really sad, is really, and then all of their attention goes to that small, that inner child, that small person. And and what I would suggest is really happening, and you can look and see. So you were there for the conversation about the person in the bottom of the well?
Yes.
Okay. So so there, maybe you're 6 years old. This one just dropped in for me. I haven't thought about it in years. But at one point in elementary school, I had a young male teacher, and he had a temper. And at one point, he got upset with one of the kids in the class and picked him up and threw him in the wastebasket. Wastebasket. Mm-hmm. You remember what school wastebaskets look like?
Yes.
It's not big enough to accommodate a child, right? And I mean, talk about, you know, trauma, right, to a whole group of little kids. So, yeah. I mean, here's this guy. He is the authority. You have to do exactly what he says. And if you don't, this is the kind of thing that he's liable to do to you. So that kind of thing gets put in there. This is why I'm excited about the year-long class, right? So that gets in there. And that, because that's an actual trauma to the system, right? But the person that had that experience, so what the way we talk about it, so, you know, you're 8 years old when that happens. You can't just stay there in that. You've got to accommodate that experience in some way and go on. So it gets put somewhere, and you become somebody who survives that. There's the next aspect of the personality that comes into existence. Right, so now you're somebody who's, if you're a girl, you're probably somebody who is just always going to be good, right? If you're a boy, there's probably some, okay, but only as long as I'm smaller than you, okay? Which is a gross generality, but you know what I'm saying with this. And so then you accommodate. So you learn to be sweet and say yes and agree and not make waves and ever upset, especially a man. Right? Now you have a whole different way of dealing with women who who inflicted whatever trauma, right?
Yeah.
But, and so then fast forward, you have no idea at this point because there have been so many accommodations and adaptations and all of that, that person who, you know, watched in horror, this scene is completely forgotten.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, that's the person, if we, you know, the well is actually full of people, okay, little people. But just let's say that it's her. And so she gets put down at the bottom of the well, and everything that has survived that trauma is up at the top. Now, the up at the top person, which we call ego, of course, will even say, and this happened to me, and that happened to me. Oh my God, it was so upsetting. Let me tell you, but it didn't happen to that person. Okay, that person survived it and tells the story of it and gets a lot of mileage out of it.
Yeah.
But what never happens, right, is going back to that original trauma and seeing that child, in this case, for who she is, embracing her, helping her, mentoring her, that sort of thing.
Yes.
That all hang together?
Beautifully, yes.
Yeah. So aspects of the personality, they are the personality. And the way they're, so not authentic nature, except in that everything is authentic nature. Right?
Yeah.
In the same way the dark room exists inside of the light, right? It's not, they're not separate. But what happens is that ego learns to use that kind of information because ego has grown out of that survival system, right? And so at each step along the way, as there's that morphing into more and more a separate identity, right? So telling the story, carrying the narrative forward, and then, you know, eventually we get the voice in the head that says, oh, my God, be careful, look out, don't, whatever it's saying in there. And
yes,
and we respond, we react to that based on all that that came before, most of which is not available to us in conscious awareness.
Yes, and I'm so glad you laid that all out, because what I was kind of catching on to was I want to give a plug for Reflective Listening Buddies. I'm on my second quarter of it, and I'm just loving it. I did it once before a long time ago, but it went through that place of, oh, I did that, I'm done, right? And then years go by, and, it's really fabulous, all the practice offerings are. But I'm really enjoying it. So I made this commitment to start making recordings with this young aspect of me, to just not to go into stories, right, but to really just open the door of a relationship so that if she's needing someone, she has someone to turn to. Mm-hmm. And which felt very different than trying to go digging for whatever trauma she may have had or didn't have.
That's
or
right.
Whatever story got attached to what, you know, whatever pieces of her life.
That's right. Which brings us, Laura, before you go on from there,
please.
Which brings us to the most significant aspect of this. And the reason that we actually stopped talking about this whole process all that much, anything that is authentically injured, a child who is actually injured, simply wants to be embraced into the present.
Mm.
And you know that from your own kids.
Yes.
Right? Something happens to them, and as adults, we might want to get all wound up over it and go over it and talk about it and go to the school and talk to that person. And all the child wants is to be seen, to be heard, to be reassured that you're okay, I'm here, you're all right, and they're ready to get on with their lives.
Yes.
But when ego gets hold of it, there's never a getting on with your life, because ego wants to tell the story and drag you into it and milk it. And
yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I appreciate the clarification, because it feels like, you know, it is really easy when it's just being present to the person in whatever experience they're having. And it feels heavy or difficult, or, you know, when it goes into the narrative around it.
Oh, absolutely. And so with the specifics, you know, I'm that person. So, you know, I know that when there's a man with a certain energy, I'm really sensitive to that. Right? And, right. And so I want to be especially aware of being present and paying attention when I'm in that kind of situation. But I want to be aware and present in every situation, because if not, somebody, in quotes, somebody is going to be left on their own fending for themselves. And that's what we don't want to have happen. So, you know, you've heard me, I'm sure, talk about Cheryl and Marshmallow, right? There's Cheryl, just the embodiment of, Marshmallow, the embodiment of innocence, and Cheryl, my 8-year-old hit person, right? And they, you know, they work together, right? Because anytime Marshmallow felt threatened, Cheryl came and just took people out. So it's up to me then to be there, present, so nobody else has to be there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because they will, right? You have survived you have survived this long because there are systems in place to make sure you survive. Now, we could say it's ego surviving, and those systems are in place to make sure ego survives. Okay, but the point is, if you're not there and present, a survival system is going to do what it does to make sure that survival happens.
That sounds really, yeah, exactly. So survival happens no matter what. It's just with path. Which path? Is it the karmic, you know, path, or is it?
That's right.
Right. The heart path, the light room path.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you.
You are so welcome. Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Oh, and I'm already signed up for the retreat.
Oh, for the year long? Oh, excellent.
Yep.
Very, very, very good. All right.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Laura. And Sherry, I appreciated how you both went into so much detail and how you, Sherry, laid that whole process out about aspects of personality and how they get left behind and the importance of just being here and not needing to figure out or understand that narrative.
Exactly. Everybody just wants to be brought into unconditional love. That's it. Mm-hmm. We do that and all is well. Yeah.
Yeah.
If we're not here to do that, then again, you know, survival is going to happen. Good wolf or bad wolf.
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's better when we choose which wolf is going to be there.
It really is. It's just so much better for everybody, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Great. Sherry, we're going to hear from our coaching program, and then we'll be right back.
Okay.
How we do anything is how we do everything, which is very good news because seeing through one conditioned process reveals it everywhere. Zen awareness coaching uses tried and true practices like recording and listening, process mapping, and weekly practice commitments to take the mystery out of ego's bamboozles. If you have ever attended a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat and are tired of getting caught in the same old suffering processes, Zen Awareness Coaching is for you. To request a coach, email zenawarenesscoach@livingcompassion.org. That's zenawarenesscoach, all one word, @livingcompassion.org. Getting a coach will support you in making the anything and everything of your life exactly what the heart desires.
Welcome
back
to Open Air.
Greeting, isn't it? A very nice encouragement, yeah.
Yes, and I like that reminder that when I see through one piece of content, the process around one piece of content, I've seen it everywhere.
Yes, yeah. Boy, that's coming up a lot. I think it's coming up a lot in the email class. Where people are really catching on to this whole process that goes on, and you know that's what conditioning does, bamboozles us into thinking, well, that happens there, and boy, I've seen through that. Isn't that great? But we start looking at it from the perspective of, and where else is that happening? Then it's, as you say, it's everywhere. So yeah,
yes,
very helpful.
Exactly. And we have another caller, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Lynn.
Hey, Lynn.
Hi, Lynn.
Hi.
Where are you from, Lynn?
D.C.
D.C. Well, welcome.
Thank you. My voice is a little odd because my throat is hurting. I was calling
It's the season, Lynn.
Right. I was calling to offer something, if I may. I was listening to last week's Open Air, and the last caller, I believe it was someone named Todd, was talking about how he'd had a bike accident and he was having flashbacks and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just reading a book about that, so I thought if it's of use to him, I was just going to tell him the title.
Well, we're kind of committed now. What's the title?
It's called Waking the Tiger.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and it's just kind of like you guys talk about how not to get into this story. This person, he just basically, it's about like noticing body sensations and sort of allowing the body to restabilize. So I thought maybe if it's of use to him, I thought I'd offer that.
Yeah. All right. Well, what's going on with you in practice?
I think I should save that for another call.
Why is that?
Because my throat is wacky right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it hurting or just wacky? Because you sound all right. I sense that your voice is different on other occasions, but certainly you're audible.
Yeah. Let's see. Well, one thing, I had called last, I think it was September or something, in regards to a conversation you'd had with someone about it was prayer or something. And we talked about it, and you'd asked me to report back, so I can report about that.
Well, lovely.
So you had said to her that the universe is basically on your side. Mm-hmm. And so I heard that part, and there was something I'd been postponing for like 4 years because I'd been listening to the voices saying, oh, you know, you're not good enough, and that's
you can't do that.
Yeah. Oh, did I say 4 years? Well, 3 years. So after that call, it kind of gave me a boost to I don't want to get into the details, but to make a phone call. Yeah, move ahead. And it's not what the voices said it would be.
Really?
So that was exciting.
Lynn. That is shocking always to us, isn't it? That those voices would lie to us. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't that good to see?
Talk
about a process that we can apply all over our lives, right? Once we catch on to the fact that those voices lie to us, well, they just lie. They lie to us, but they lie to everybody. Once we catch on to that, then we can really start looking with suspicion at what they're telling us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's very good.
That was my report.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. Take care of that throat, huh?
Okay, thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for joining us, Lynn. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Beth in Pittsburgh.
Hey, Beth in Pittsburgh. How are you?
Okay, well, first of all, I'm just...
Kind of a trick question, huh?
Well, it's like, well, which one of the 27 answers do you want?
Yeah.
And then it's just, I'm doing the best I can and getting up in the morning and tired, but still going, still moving. And just real quickly, I'm asking if we could say lost wolf instead of bad wolf.
Well, that is nicer, isn't it?
Well,
suffering, identified wolf.
Identified wolf, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Yeah. But kind of like what I was looking at earlier today is gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
In having the use of my good right hand.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of like I got like the heavy metals out of my system. And it's like you move one thing out and then the next problem presents itself.
Yes. That sounds like a pretty fair description of how it works.
Yes. And in practice, it's like something that continually catches me up. It's like, just an example, it's like I'm always delighted when I finish the dishes. Like, they're mm-hmm. all done forever. But the reality is...
Oh, thank God. Thank God I never have to do that again. Yeah.
Exactly. I'm done. I did it.
Yeah.
And all this time, I'm still surprised.
How about get here?
That I have to keep practicing.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. it's not like I am never not going to be working on my health. I'm never not going to be working on finding center.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. The difference to me is that it goes from well, pardon me, but oh damn, why these dishes again? To all right, dishes means I ate. Right?
I get to have my hands in the water. Yeah.
I get to have my hands in the warm water. It's warm.
Yeah.
The water is warm. We have water.
I like finding the patterns. I like finding the rhythms, and it's a mm-hmm. process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as that happens, and of course, especially as we kind of get more and more comfortable with the notion that this is for me, right? I'm learning unconditional love in spite of everything that happens. I'm learning to choose unconditional love. Then it no longer feels like a punishment to us.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, when I was 9, I loved to do dishes. That's still the example, but it's kind of like there was a time when, like, finding the innocence to stay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not like I've done discipline, I've done all different kinds of things, but it's kind of finding the delight that's actually there.
Yes. Yeah, so I was walking around my house the other day, and I thought, you know, I admit I'm a bit on the lunatic side, but
me too.
I was just so acutely aware of how much love surrounds me. You know,
I'm so
envious
of that.
All these things around me that I love.
Yeah,
no,
like
I love
my
bed.
Yeah.
Yeah, my good right hand. Yeah, well, and I was getting, you know, I'm walking around thanking the bed and thanking the sink and, you know, thanking the chair and the table and all of these things that are always there for me, that take such good care of me all the time. And
that
I
came
feel,
from centuries of growth, you know. Yeah,
yes,
you feel.
Yes. Yes, and demented as it may be, I think they love me.
I think
that's why they're there. I think that's why we're sharing life together.
Ha. Yes. Particularly when you add the water, you know, kind of just, it is, that's easy to kind of connect in with the gratitude. And it's not like mm-hmm. the chair is the issue. It's the gratitude.
Exactly so. Yeah. And, of course, with those things, and really with everything in my life, they're in my life because I love them.
Hmm.
So it's back to that exercise we did apparently very long time ago. It seems like it was just recently to me, but it must have been years ago, you know, where you just walk around and say, I love you. You love me. And, you know, they always say they do.
And there's, I've been going through this experience with loneliness and kind of getting this glimmer that it can take me sometimes, you know, a couple of weeks or a couple of hours or a couple of minutes to remember that it's like the loneliness is a sign that I'm not at center. And if I'm not at center, then the only thing, my only work is to find center.
Oh, Beth. That's just the whole deal right there.
It's getting harder.
Because, well,
maybe because
you're having the experience that we have in life, which is we see something, we get something, and we're ready for the next thing. So I would say you are 1,000% correct. The only way we can possibly feel lonely is when we're not at center. Because when we're at center, we know we are intimately connected with everything that exists. Everything that exists is us. We are it. I mean, there's just no separation. There's no ability to... You couldn't be alone if you tried. And the only way to feel lonely is to focus on... Look around, and there's no other human being here, and then start a story about what that means about me and my life. But as soon as we get back to center, there's just however far you want to go with it, the great excitement all the way to ecstasy of a non-separate reality that is love.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I love
Beth, have you ever read Ryokan, the poems of the Japanese poems of Ryokan?
Yes, some of them.
Yeah.
Is he the one with the moon? My house burned down, and now I have a full view of the moon.
I can't remember exactly, but he's the one who spent, as far as we can tell, his entire life in a little hut. Somewhere on a mountain in Japan. By himself, he would periodically go out in an afternoon and make a foray down to somewhere where there were children, and he would play with the kids, and then he would go. And so many of his poems reflect that loneliness of, that is... the longing for union.
Yes.
And, of course, he chose that life, I project, because that's what he was working through.
Yes.
It's not like he was, you know, he didn't experience it and therefore he was some sort of masochist, but he, at deeper and deeper and deeper levels, to find that interconnectedness of all life.
There's a point when I just know that I'm not going to find it in anybody else if I can't find it in me.
That's right.
And I am just not satisfied with what a lot of people are satisfied with.
Yes.
I don't like going shopping.
Yes.
I don't watch the news. I don't have, you know, I don't watch TV. So it's kind of like But that's also not true, because there's incredibly beautiful souls all the way around me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So it what I hear you saying, and what is my experience as well, is if you're listening to a story, it's a tragedy. If you're not listening to a story, it's quite lovely.
Yes. After doing the sashimi, I spent the entire day walking around just looking at bark with, you know, no sense of anything missing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there we are. That's the one, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So no more falling into those stories without without an awareness that it is just a story, and it is our best opportunity to drop that story and get back to what is so.
The whole thing is conditioning. The whole mm-hmm. thing is the story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Until those moments when we go, ah, yes, uh-huh, thank you. You're right.
Yes. Do you know that the Peace Pilgrim and I share a birthday?
No. What birthday is that?
July 18th.
July 18th. All right.
Yeah. Wow. So I got everything I need.
Yeah, you have your calling. We get you one of those little suits, right, with some pockets in the front, and you're good to go. All right. Thank you, Beth. You take care of
Thank
you,
you,
okay?
Arigato.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. And Sherry, we have time for at least one more caller here.
All right, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Gail from Flagstaff.
Hey, Gail.
Hi, Gail.
Well, hi, I actually did this. Oh, my gosh.
Yes, you did, and we're glad that you did. What's
this
going on?
This is the first time I've called in.
Well, welcome.
And I've just been listening to Open Air probably for the last couple months, so it's like, wow. And I just wanted to say thank you, thank you, thank you. I've been having such a good time with the Socratic email classes, and I signed up for the retreat because I missed Project Joy last time, and I did the Reflective Listening Buddies, and I signed up for the coaching, and I'm mostly better now, and it's just, I'm really excited.
You are Sangha.
Yeah. So I had all these different things. I've been in the queue for like the last 2-3 weeks. And I had all these different things I wanted to talk about, and of course I can't remember any of them at this moment.
Understandable.
Other than to say thank you so much. I have been with you since your first book. And
is that so?
Yeah.
Say more about that. That's a long time, girl.
Well, I was working in anthropology as a secretary, and my boss for Christmas gave me your book. And he was very much interested in Zen Buddhism as an extension of anthropology.
Where, oh, my.
Because he was into phenomenology and philosophy and the nature of reality. And so that's, so we basically, and I started taking a bunch of American culture classes with him. I sat in on them, graduate classes, about 5 of them. And basically we were looking at our culture as an anthropology. And then seeing how that is the filter that we're looking through.
And isn't that the truth?
Mm-hmm. And so that was my introduction to, and then you, so your books fit in beautifully with that, you know, instead of just calling it books, you're conditioning. And then so every year when you got a new book, I would grab it, you know, and then when we all went on the internet thing here, this is just so cool.
Wow. That is amazing. I'm so glad. And now something seems to have, as the image that was used earlier, lit a fire under you.
I was one who got diagnosed with cancer last year, and he had surgery and stuff. And so you were with me all throughout the recovery and the Socratic email classes and just everything, you know. So my practice went through the roof, of course, in the last 2 years because I was so supportive. And I finally got I've been doing recording listening for like several years now, but, you know, it's like it didn't really like work. And then, oh, my recorder broke, you know. And then
well, finally, that's the end of that.
Yeah. And then it finally clicked in. I got something that started working for me just actually the last few months. And so it's working really, really well now.
I love it. This is a very happy story for me.
Yeah.
And for you, I take it.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh. And so in the Socratic email class, I'm trying to get it down to 50 words. That's the most frustrating thing because, you know, you want to go, oh, but I want to tell her this and I want to tell her that, you know.
that is challenging.
I have to tell you today, though, because I'm going to do the thing tonight. But I was, like, typing out, I was doing a draft, you know, about, well, where am I now? And trying to do it. And I wrote a sentence. And then as I'm writing, the mentor grabbed the keyboard. I mean, it literally felt like the mentor grabbed the keyboard and wrote in habitually. Because I'd written something like, and then, you know, it was a story. It was like, and but then I always get snatched again. And it was like, I get habitually snatched again. And I went, what? And then it's not happened. And then I remembered, like, and then everything I read in the responses for the email class, it's habit. You know, you just said, well, now we've gotten to the stage where we're, you know, habit-breaking, and it's just a habit, and the refrain and religious, whatever you just said, I can't remember what it is.
Refrain, religious observances?
Observances, that's right. And it's all about habit, and it's like, well, duh. Of course.
Uh-huh.
And I realized, with this particular issue, this weight and eating stuff. Oh, and Rebecca's thing about in the Musings newsletter about where she was saying it was loving food and then eating it was basically tied together, and then she realized it didn't have to be.
Mm-hmm.
And when that opened up for me, the whole love of food that
uh-huh.
I have. And that uh-huh. it's a love of food like it's a love of life. You know, it's like it's... Food is like this huge offering of life's generosity and abundance. And, you know, and I get to offer it to other people, and it's offered to me, and there's all these people and critters involved with the whole thing about food, and it's just this wonderful offering and abundance and generosity of life. And I didn't see that till I read Rebecca's essay in the newsletter last month. And then the whole thing with the email class, kind of, oh, my gosh, the reason why this is always an ongoing thing is because although I know a lot about it and I see a lot about it, I haven't actually worked on the habit piece, the refraining piece, the restraint piece.
Mm-hmm. From love, with love.
Yes.
Yeah, not from a, you got to be different, but from love.
Yes.
Wow.
So it's like all these pieces have just been coming together, and then all of a sudden I'm talking to you. It's like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh.
So when we talk about that experience of being guided, of right, directed. In fact, I don't know if I was talking. Well, I don't know where I was talking about this. I never know where I'm talking about anything. But I was telling people, probably the monks, why I love doing email classes so much. Mm-hmm. And that's because I have exactly that experience all the time that you just described. I just sit down and I put my hands on the keyboard and I read what's there, and then I basically take dictation. Right?
Yes.
And unfortunately I have an editor who cleans up anything that but that's basically what it is. And the thrill of it is experiencing that guidance so directly, so much more directly than we can experience it when we're just walking around in the world. At least that's true for me. I don't know if that's true for everybody. It's the best. And so seeing that, you know, there's this, and you get that piece, and then there's the takeover of the keyboard, and the habitual is written, and then that ties in with Rebecca's article, and then that, and you see how that fits in with, and pretty soon we just think, oh, why did I ever worry about anything?
Oh,
we're completely taken care of.
Yes. And it's magical.
It's magical.
Yes.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. People hear that and they think, oh, calm yourself, Huber. But it's true. It's magical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's so exciting.
Love it.
And just and then I talked to somebody who's like, and what's so funny is I was so grumpy yesterday.
Mm.
You know, and it took me a little while to go, hello, and it was just like what you're saying. It's like, I hear you. Now go put on your coat. I love that one.
Right.
That's my favorite one. I hear you. Go put on your coat. It's like, I say that all the time. Every time
you don't have to want to. Just do it.
It's perfect. It's the exact. That's the piece, because I would just go along, you know, I'd be basically, oh, you poor thing, you know, entertaining the story, I guess, or fighting with the story, or but it was like I wouldn't be going to put the coat on. That was the missing piece, you know. So I was so excited about, you know, this year, and then signing up for the retreat, because I didn't do Project Joy, and then I kept hearing about it, you know, and then I didn't realize I could have jumped on board any time. So it's like, okay, I'm signing up for this year.
We're not doing that miss out thing again. No, there's no reason for that.
Nope.
Okay. Yeah, that's very good. All right. Well, this has been a delight. Thank you so much.
Well, thank
you. We've been together for a long time. I just never knew it.
Yes, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
It was so fun seeing you in the video workshop in last
year.
Oh!
So. Yeah, well, I'm a little older since we met.
Me too.
I don't know about you. Oh, you too? Okay. All right, good. Thank you, Gail.
Okay, good night.
Take care. Good night. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Gail. Sherry, that conversation was like the cherry on the top. Just delightful.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All the way from anthropology to Buddhism.
Yeah. Gosh.
Yes.
That's really astounding. Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
and
are we out of time?
Oh, it is.
All right. Well, then.
And
all right, we'll have to do it again, Michael.
We'll do it again. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Michael. Good night.
Good night.